Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the service this morning, Father. And now we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, and also, Father, to bring us the truth of this, your word, so that your words that are spoken, Father, this evening were not mine but yours. Now, Father, use us in great and mighty ways, Father, not to lift us up, but so that we can help lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to share the gospel with those, Father, that are in need out there of salvation, and those, Father, that are in need of help in growing to be your children. Now, Father, be with us throughout this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. This morning, we was in chapter 4, and we covered a lot of different things, but we also found that the people of Jesus in the early church was a lot different than mankind is today. And it was letting you and I know just how far off mankind is today and how far away from God he is. You see, when they belonged to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, they took everything they had and sold it. And they took it to the apostles, laid it all at their feet, and the apostles distributed that to all that was in need so that every man had what he needed. We don't do that today. Our churches today don't do that. In fact, one of the last places you can go today and get help is at most of our churches. You go, but you won't get much help out of them because they really don't have the love of God in them as supposed to be there. Now, if we would quit worrying about the things of this life and things of this world out here and wanting so much of it and begin to look up and to look to God's kingdom, because he told you and I he would supply our needs. He didn't say, I'll supply your want. We can want a lot of things, but he said, I'll supply your needs. Because according to God's scripture, as we pass through this life, really all we need of this world is a place that we can stay and sleep, make a home, so to speak, clothes on our back, and food for our belly. And that's really all we need in this world. And if we have got our trust in God, he'll take care of the rest of everything that we do actually need. Well, you know, now I have to get around. So, you know, I seen my neighbor down here. He's got that brand new Cadillac. Oh, that's a sharp vehicle. You know, I'd like to have one of them. Well, you may need a vehicle. But that don't mean God's going to give you a Cadillac. He may give you a Model A Ford. But whatever he gives you will get you where you need to go. And that's all we need to be concerned about, is where we are going. We don't need the best of everything this world has got to offer. We're supposed to be laying up our treasures in heaven. But very few are doing that. And I mean very few. Statistics right now, and I'm saying they're behind time, but statistics right now has got 98% of our churches are teaching the wrong thing because they're teaching contrary to the Word of God. I could sit here and spend my whole time for this service just going over things as an example of how they are teaching contrary to God's word. I'm not going to do that. We're going to get in to Acts chapter 5. We're going to find out some more things that we shouldn't be doing if we want to make heaven our home. And this starts out here with verse 1. It says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Now this possession was theirs and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now they kept back part of that price, but they've laid it at the apostles' feet, the rest of it. But it says, but Peter, verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? You see, the thing about it was, this is Luke's recording of what was going on. But he had asked him about that. In another place he had asked him, is this what you sold that property for. And Ananias told him it was, which made him lying about it. But keeping back, if he had been truthful with it, wouldn't have been against him. But he lied about it. What kind of price did he have to pay? While it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart, that thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God? You see, when you lie to a man of God, you are actually lying, not to that man, but you're lying to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because you see, all that are born again, and this is something mankind today don't stop and realize, just what he has in him, or should have in him. Most that even claim they've got it don't have it, because they have been deceived in the teaching they've been under until they don't have what they're claiming. You take, when you are born again, child of God, you have all the power of heaven in you, in you. You've got the Son, you've got the Father, and you've got the Holy Spirit living in you. That's God's word. That's not mine. That's his word. Now, but you see, most don't look at it that way. So when you are really and truly born again, they're not lying to you. When they lie to you, they're not lying to you. They're lying to the Holy Spirit. Well, here's how dangerous it can be. 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. He died from lying to the Holy Spirit. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her. In other words, he asked her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. She done the same thing. Because her and her husband Ananias had agreed to lie about it. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. She too now has died from lying to the Holy Spirit. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Today, most of your churches carry no fear of God at all, because the way of their teaching. They're led to believe and just go out here and live any old way they want to live. And it'll be all right. They can just keep asking the Lord to forgive that same old sin over and over and over. Because what they have done, most of our churches today are moving their congregation mostly back under the law instead of keeping them under grace. which is what we have to live by today if we're going to make heaven our home. We can't live by the law. Everyone that is not a born-again child of God is going to miss making heaven their home. Think about it. We know what being born again is all about. I've been teaching it for years. And we know that if you are born again, you don't commit sin. Especially those same old sins. We know where it's at in the Bible that tells you you can't do it. And for those listening that's never heard that before, you find it in 1 John chapter 3. It's all there. Telling you exactly what happens to you when you're born again. When you're born again and that Holy Spirit moves into you and stays with you, he tells you, because of that, you cannot sin. And he don't say maybe. And he don't say might. He don't say maybe you won't sin. Or you might not sin. He says you cannot, because you are born of God. That's his word, not mine. But that's his. For those of you that could be listening right now, don't know or have never heard it preached before, so that you will know and understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to take it back and I'm going to read just a few verses here so you know that what I'm telling you is true. Lay my word is God's. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, those of you that's been telling people you're born again, are you? Look at yourself. Have you really been born again? Most of you are going to have to admit you haven't been. We know that both her and her husband, because of the lie to the Holy Spirit, thinking they were lying to a man, are dead and buried. Now, verse 12 says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They were all what? In one accord. You see, we don't need all of these walls out here that we've got today. We don't call them walls. We call them denominations. The Baptists, the Methodists, Presbyterian, Unitarian, Lutheran, Pentecostal, Full Gospel, Church of God. They're all walls. We're told in God's word not to build them walls, because we are all supposed to belong to one church. That's his church. Now, the church where you would be located, it doesn't matter what name is out in the front of it. It is what is being taught and coming from inside that church. That's like in our New Testament. Most of the churches went by the name of the place where it was at. That's fine. Nothing wrong with it. It's what is being taught inside. Is the word of Almighty God being taught there? Or are they teaching things that is contrary to the word of God? And that's what most are doing. We're told to stay away from them. But we are to share his word with the lost. And we're to talk and share the word with those that are sitting in these churches that's being taught wrong. We are to share the word with them, but we're not to do what they do or to associate with them, to spend that kind of time with them, and get out here and run around with them. No. We are to stand together and stand in one accord. Means one belief. And that being in the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Which is what we in this ministry are standing on. His word. His church. His gospel. Not man-made. Now, 13. And of the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. You see, there was a lot of others standing around that didn't believe in what they were teaching. They would have nothing to do with them. Well, we can expect the same thing today. People, if you are a true born-again child of God, people are going to talk about you. They're going to talk against you. They'll even lie on you. They want nothing to do with you because they're not wanting the truth of God's word. Now, 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, to both of men and women. Now, as they would go ahead and preach this word, they were adding to God's people every day. And that's something we should never forget. When I first come to the knowledge of setting up this ministry, I had no idea of how many I could lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or where they would come from. Who they would be. And one of my first converts is sitting there in front of me. He ain't saying nothing, but he's there. He came out of something else even. But the word changed him. I didn't do it. The word did it. And as you talk to others, you may never know who you really led to the Lord or how many. You may talk to one out here one day. That one change his life and go to the Lord. He may talk to 10 others. That 10 others is credited to you also because you led him to the Lord. You didn't. The Spirit working through you did. You see, we can't give the increase. Only God can give that. Only God can give it. Now, we found out his name is Multitudes now. And we also find out here what else we're supposed to be having. 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Just his shadow God was using as a power to heal. Think about it. So why can't he use you for healing? We need our faith built strong without any doubt whatsoever. We can't let one doubt in, because if we do, this power is not going to work for us. That's why it's not working in our churches, because the church that is not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and teaching contrary to his word, there's no way that power of God is with them. 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Even those that was filled with demons. Those demons were cast out and they were healed.
Amen.
That's where the ministry's got to get to today. It's got to get there. Or it's not going to make heaven its home. That's God's word, not mine. Now, but if you think it's all going to be bed of roses, well, going to find out it ain't going to be. Here, these men in this early church, building these early churches for the New Testament under the Lord Jesus Christ, under his blood, handpicked. But look what they face. 17. Then the high priest arose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now who's standing against these men? The higher-ups of the synagogue, the priests, the high priest even. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now they're in prison. Now 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now here God brought them out of the prison, but he didn't send them anywhere else, only into the city, to the synagogue, the same place where the people or that put them in prison. They're sent right back to them. To do what? To preach the gospel. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Preach this word of this life. That's this Holy Bible we've got today. It is our guide. It's our strength. It's our roadmap to heaven. It's all in here. Everything we would ever need is in here. But we have to make a choice in what we are going to live by. We choose. And most are choosing not to live by this word. I've got other things on my mind. Other things to do out here. I ain't got time to spend in God's word. I haven't got time to go to church. And if you live your life that way, then one day when you step out of this life and into the next, you're going to find out the Lord ain't got time for you. Now he's going to tell you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. And those that are sitting in the churches, warming the pews and doing nothing for God is not going to make it. I don't care what your pastor tells you. You're not working for God. You're not doing anything for him. You're not sharing the gospel. You're not studying his word. You're not telling anyone about the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't going to make heaven your home. You're going to wind up going straight to hell. And once you're there, there ain't no way out. No way of getting out. As the Lord God told the rich man that went, that begged him to let Lazarus come to him and just dip his finger in water. Just dip his finger in water and put on his tongue because he was in that kind of pain. It was so hot where he was at. And he was so parched. Just a drop of water. He was told no. Then he asked, send Lazarus then, if you won't let him come to me, send him to my brothers that are living so they don't come where I'm at. Because if one goes from the dead to them, they'll listen. God told him no. He told him, he said, they've got the prophets, the apostles. Let them listen to them. This man said, oh, they won't do that, but they'll listen to one that goes from the dead. He told him, he said, there's a great gulf built where no man can cross going either way. Once you're there, never, never any way out. You're going to spend eternity.
You walk too far.
To spend eternity in that kind of pain. Now, <coughs> 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and talked. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now they're all these big shots now, big wigs of the synagogue. They come together and they're sent into the prison. You see, they don't know that they ain't there. Not yet. So they're sent into the prison, have brought before them again. Because they want to get rid of them. Now, 22. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told. Pardon me a moment. Saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Those that were to guard them didn't even know they were gone. God had opened the prison, took them out, but evidently he put the guards to sleep. Guards didn't know they were gone. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest, pay attention who these people are, heard that these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. You want to know where they're at? That's where they are. You see the boldness that we are to have when we belong to Jesus. We're not to walk in fear of anything, because nothing is going to happen to us that God does not allow. And if he allows it, he's going to go through it with us. I can tell you that. He's been going through something here with me now for several months. But am I walking in fear? No. I've got nothing to fear. Now, would I like to be well? Yes. And I know he is healing me. But it'll be at his time and his way. Because during this time period, I have learned more about the Lord Jesus Christ, more about my Father, more about the Holy Spirit, more about his word than I had learned from 1966 up until a few months back, even though I was preaching the gospel. What I was preaching was not wrong, but I kept growing, 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 growing. And I didn't know how to use a lot of things. He's been teaching me how. Now, they wanted to know how this was going to go. This one come and told them where they was at. Says, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. Now but again, they're trying to put them under their controls. And when, 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, 28, saying, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? Didn't we tell you you can't preach in this name? Here you are in the temple doing it. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. No, they was trying to get them under the blood and get them saved. Now, here in 29, here's the way they got answered. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And you see, here in Meade County, when this covert started. Man told them to close the churches. In Meade County, all churches closed their doors except one. That was ours. I didn't close the doors because I told them the same thing Peter told them, that I'm to obey God rather than man. I was told you could be fined in jail. I told him, I said, well, all I can tell you go ahead and fine me, and then you can jail me because I ain't going to pay the fine either. Because you haven't got the authority, really, to do either one. And you see, they didn't do either one. They knew they were wrong. And if the other churches would have stood up to them, they wouldn't have been closing their doors either. Now, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Now they're telling me exactly what they done. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. They ain't pulling no punches, are they? And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey. You see, you're not going to get that baptism, that infilling of the Holy Spirit, until you are walking in obedience of God's word. People are not being taught that. Most of your churches right today are telling the people, repent. They'll tell them that, repent. And most of the churches will tell them, be baptized. They'll tell them, be baptized. And when you're baptized, you are automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not true. That's not so.
Yeah, you got to speak in tongues right away. You got to speak in tongues right away.
Yeah. That's what they tell them, see. No. All of my years in ministry, I've seen that happen one time. Once only in 56 years that I've seen them get it all at one time. It can be done, but it's not done often. And then the only reason that was done is because that one, they got that all at once, was well upon God's word, but had been sitting under a teaching that was keeping her pulled away from Jesus. With deception. Think about it. Because we got a lot of it going on today. Now, verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Now they want to kill them. They want to kill these apostles now. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. In other words, get them out of the way because I want to talk to you. And said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. Be careful what you're getting ready to do. Why is he telling them that? Because he goes on here in 36, He says, for before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. You see, in other words, he wasn't what he was supposed to be, what he proclaimed to be. And that's what he's telling these higher-ups in the synagogue. Because he's warning them now to be careful. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. They took off in other directions. Now, 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it will come to naught. But he's truthful there. If the work is just of man and mankind, it's not going anywhere. And they sure ain't going to get them to heaven. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. You let them know. You don't want that to happen because you don't want to be fighting against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they didn't just turn them loose. They had to do something to them. So they beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Think about that. They wasn't mad because they'd been beaten or nothing. You see, this is what happens to the people of God. They was rejoicing because they was counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. And daily in the temple, didn't slow them down a bit, did it? Daily in the temple in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Think about it. It did not matter what happened to them. They didn't walk in fear, regardless of what they had to suffer, but they walked through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you and I are supposed to be doing today. But how many are actually doing it? Because mankind's got their own way and their own thing. And how do I know that this word works? That's what a lot of people will ask you. I know because I know what it's done for me. I've lived a whole lot of this. Both ways. And he's been taking care of me a long time. But doing things without being strong and understanding things that I have now, I lived from paycheck to paycheck, always in debt. And like I said, a few months back, I'm going to show you something. I preached 56 years, and just a few months back, the Lord spoke to me and told me, he says, your ministry is just now beginning, after 56 years, my ministry is just now beginning, And it has changed. It's gotten stronger and stronger. And it's getting stronger every day. And God's putting more into it every day. Satan been trying to pull me and Kenny apart for 2 years.
Yep.
But he ain't made it. And he ain't going to make it. Because you see, Kenny's growing too. He's getting stronger.
Yeah, but Terry...
And he's doing things now that he never dreamed of doing back a few years back.
A few months back.
Well, yeah. But you take back when I first met you. You didn't dream none of this.
No.
But, now, you see, at my age now, with me going, still teaching, and still using me, I don't know how long, it don't matter. But, the thing is, it is, I don't owe no man nothing. And that's just happened in the last few months. And I've got a little money laid back. The only thing I owe is electric and stuff that comes due by the month. But as far as loans and things, they're all gone. First time in my life, I could sit back and be absolutely free and have anything left. And I got a little money in the Irvington Bank. I got a little money down in the bank in Brandenburg. Got a little savings account here. The ministry's got money. And I don't own nobody. My home's paid for. My car's paid for. And it's happened just in these last months. God is just that good. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a time that we can come together to share your word and to grow thereby, Father, so that we can make heaven our home. But Father, we thank you that we can share this word with others in this day and time. And I'm asking, Father, to use all of us that's in this ministry. Use us, Father, to speak to those that are walking in darkness, to help them come to a knowledge of knowing that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, and that we can be able, Father, to help them to come to Jesus, come to him for repentance, and to understand, Father, that with that repentance comes responsibility and comes growth. Now, Father, for each one of us, I pray for health. I pray for strength, energy. I pray, Father, for our families, because we all have family members, Father, that are walking in darkness, not walking with the Lord. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to work with each one and each family to help them come to an understanding that they need Jesus to make heaven their home. So, Father, that none end up in hell and that lake of fire that burns forever, and where the scripture tells us the worm never dies, with no way out, Father, for eternity. That torment, that pain, Father, I'm praying more than that for our families. Holy Spirit, work with them. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, I ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them. We know right now, Father, that they have very little of peace. But even more than that, Father, I pray that they, Father, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel can be known as a land for Jesus. This land of mine, Father, where we live, we pray, Father, that those in our government that has brought so much evil upon its own people, help us to replace them, Father, with ones that will work for Jesus, work for your church. Work with us and help us to lead this nation to repentance. Turn our government around and put it back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us as we prepare to separate now to go our own ways. Keep us all safe. Bring us back together, Father, come Thursday evening, and so that we can grow thereby. Help us to walk through this week in righteousness, upright, walk without fear, knowing the love of Almighty God, and may we share our love. May godly love with others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God bless. Bring you up today a little bit.
Shut that up?
Yeah, I better turn this off too.